You're gathered here today for the 168th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaranamaneya. It's the 25th of January 2025. I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for today's session, and I'd like to invite everyone who's participating via Zoom and Facebook live stream, or anyone who will be watching later. Our program, as usual, will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, which will be followed by today's topic, as talk on today's topic. And finally, we will present any reports that were sent to us to Bhante, followed by questions. So to begin today's session, I would like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, with the topic that we are having, we thought of doing some practice that is related to sleep as well as some yoga connection is also there. So we will go through the steps. It would be very nice if you can turn on video. Not sure whether you are able to participate, but this is going to be savasana. So that means you have to lie down on your back. That's the pose that we are going to practice. So anybody who can participate with the video, that would be very nice, so all of us can see what's happening. Okay, so you have to figure out the settings. I don't know how to adjust the cameras and stuff. I'll give you a couple of minutes to make sure that you are ready. Anybody else who is willing to participate with the video, you can join in. And I hope all of you are ready. Even without joining with video, you can practice this. You can try and see how we can relate mindfulness into something like this, and how we can use those things to improve ourselves. Okay, so this is called savasana. One of the yoga poses, and this is related to the, it's like a corpse. You are trying to be like a corpse. This is more like, you know, lying down on your back. So as the initial step, you have to lie down on your back. That's the posture that we are going to practice this one. You can place the hands on your side and the legs also in a comfortable posture. Initially, bring your attention to the body and notice whether you are comfortable in this posture. Whatever the difficulty, discomfort, you can adjust it and then come to a stillness. Okay, now we are ready with the posture. In order to start the practice, we can just simply shake our feet a little, just get comfortable. Even you can do the same with your hands. Maybe you can do like a butterfly. When you're comfortable in your posture, you can gently come into a stillness. Now feel free to close your eyes as well. Bring your attention to the present moment and simply notice whatever you feel. Notice the bodily sensations. the pressure on your back, the pressure on your hands and legs. Sometimes you hear surrounding sounds. Time to time you might get thoughts, memories. Here we are not trying to pinpoint our attention to a particular sensation. Instead, what we do is we simply go with the flow. Simply embrace whatever comes in the present moment. It's always a mix of bodily sensations, surrounding sounds, thoughts, memories, storytelling. And we are not suppressing anything, instead simply accepting. And when you do this, when you allow the mind to flow naturally, and when you are on a lying down posture, it is natural that sleepiness might come. Your mind and body relaxes, and sleepiness appears. Our intention is to stay awake in this posture. But if it happens, it is okay to drift off a bit as well. This posture is so relaxing. Initially, you might struggle to stay awake. But when you practice it repetitively, gradually you are able to stay awake in this posture. Now, I will silence my voice. You can continue few more minutes in this posture till you hear the bell. Okay, everyone. Now you can gently open your eyes and come out of the Savasana posture. Okay, I hope you got the idea. So this is not just for today, but instead when you go to bed, you can simply be aware of your bodily sensations, be aware of the present moment, and that way you can sleep or maybe approach the sleep in a mindful manner. In addition, maybe after a long day, you can simply relax in this posture. If you make it too comfortable, then you might fall asleep. So this is just simply lying down on the ground, or maybe put a bed sheet and simply lying down on that. That way, if you make the posture a little bit uncomfortable, then you would be able to stay longer in an awake state, right? So that way, it's a good way to relax. Maybe after a long, tired day, you can simply stay in this posture for like few minutes. Simply give up everything and be like a corpse. Anyway, one day we will have to give up everything, right? And become a real corpse. So this way, we are in a way rehearsing for that. We go into this posture and simply give up everything. Give up the thoughts, give up the control of your mind, give up the control of your body, and simply lie down like a corpse for 15-20 minutes. And when you do that, you realize how refreshing this is. When you wake up after like 15-20 minutes, you feel very much refreshed because you have given up the control at least for a while. And some of you might felt sleepy, and some of you might even went into sleep. How did you feel? Were you able to stay awake during that time? Anybody who fell asleep? No. Anupama was awake. How about the others? All of you managed to stay awake. Chamari.
Alsarai Bhante. So there was the drifting that was happening when the body was relaxed, I mean, actively relaxing. And at some point it was going into kind of sleepiness. And I can't remember when, a few seconds later, back with the awareness again of the body. So I know it was trying to go there, but it didn't. Yeah.
Yes, so that's why I said it's okay to drift off a bit. You know, natural, it's natural in this posture. So we are not trying to refrain that. We simply try to be in this posture. And when you practice it for a longer period, maybe like a few months, you can really stay awake in this posture. But if you lie down on a bed, it's too comfortable. So that's why I said on the ground, maybe with a blanket. That way, if you approach this, then you can stay in an awake position and simply continue for like 20-30 minutes. And this is so very refreshing and relaxing. Simply stay like a corpse, given up everything. Okay, right. So that's the activity for today. Thank you very much for participating. I was wondering whether we would be able to do this, because somebody has to demonstrate, right? Otherwise, it'll be like useless. So thank you very much for participating. We had like 4 candidates doing the posture. I'm sure others did without the video. So that's very much helpful. Okay, with that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. That was very interesting. So next on the agenda is the topic for today, the talk on today's topic, which is sleep, which is a continuation from last week. So we'll invite Bhante to start the talk on today's topic.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation from last week, and we discussed a little bit about the importance of, you know, proper relaxation. That was our discussion last time, and we had this very nice quote from one of the movies, I guess. That's actually inspired by one of the movies, which is Sleeping Beauty. Right, so the quote said some things about the relaxation, proper relaxation, and you know the importance of it. So last time we discussed, we focused mainly on that part, and we had a good discussion. And today also we are continuing. Today I would like to focus more on the latter part of the same quote. Said Sleeping Beauty, she didn't have to do anything but snore to get her Prince Charming. That was the latter part of the same quote that we discussed the other day. So this part we will focus more today. We discussed about sleep and the importance of proper relaxation, not only sleep but even meditation. That way the importance of proper relaxation we discussed. And even today's practice, we discussed about, you know, how to relax in that savasana posture, like a corpse, how to give up everything and simply be, right? So that way, we are aware about the importance of proper relaxation and how to have that in our life. Now, when we focus on the latter part of this quote, it's about, you know, striving, desiring, wanting to achieve things, right? So usually when we work, we try to do a lot of planning, a lot of thinking, a lot of desiring. That way we try. We spend hours and hours planning about things, maybe desiring things, maybe even, you know, worrying about things. So that way we spend our lives, and today we will focus more on that part. I'm sure you have certain things that you want to achieve in your life, and we are not trying to say it is bad. It's okay to have those things, have those goals, and you know certain targets. It's okay to have them, and it's important that we know the proper way of achieving these things. We can work, we can go towards those goals, but you have to make sure that you are not exhausted due to these things. So there is this very nice proverb which says, men goes on desiring and God goes on disappointing them. Men goes on desiring and the God goes on disappointing them, or the nature goes on disappointing them. So we are always desiring things. We are trying to achieve certain things. We try to get to certain goals. But most of the time we end up disappointed. Disappointed. That's the reality. Even when we get that goal, maybe it is not the proper way that we imagined. We get it, but still we are not fully happy. Maybe we are partially satisfied with what we got. So this way you can see in our lives, again and again, we are planning, targeting, desiring things. But this desiring, planning, it doesn't help us that much. Most of the time it is creating worries. Most of the time it will drag you into a depression, right? So that's the reality. So that is why it is important that you find the proper relaxation in your mind. You can do your work. You can raise children. You can earn money. Of course, you can do all those things, but it is important that you achieve a certain level of relaxation in your mind. You can do these things with a relaxed mind. That is the important one. That's what we are recommending. We are not asking you to refrain from those targets. Instead, we ask you to do them while maintaining a certain level of peace of mind. That is important. That's why the practice is so important. Initially, as a concept, you can't really achieve this. You know, it's good if you can achieve a certain level of relaxation in your mind. As an ideology, it's good. But how can you achieve it? Achieving is more difficult. Practically doing it, it takes so many hours, so many days. But gradually, if you improve the practice little by little, then you realize you work as you used to do. You earn money, you raise your children, but still you are having a certain level of relaxation in your mind while doing all these things. That's the influence of practice, how it is helping you to relax in your mind while doing all these things, while catering to your responsibilities. That's the very idea. So with repetitive practice, you can really improve the quality of the present moment. When I say improve the quality of present moment, what does it mean? Now, there was this story. Somebody comes and tells their problem. They say that I am worrying so much. I am planning all the time. How can I be here and now? How can I be more present? That's the question that this person is asking. And when you think about it, you can't be anywhere else than here and now. There is nothing other than here and now. You only have the present moment. But what happens with the thinking, worrying, planning is that you reduce the quality of the present moment. You are here, but you are not really here. You do the things, but your attention is not there. Your situational awareness is very low. You talk to your spouse, but you are not really there listening to her or him. Right? So even they can feel it. Your children can feel it that you are not there, although your body is there. Your spouse can feel it. You are not giving proper attention to them. So you can see with this thinking, worrying mind, what happens is that we reduce the quality of the present moment. Present moment is the only moment that we have. We are always here and now. But what happens with the thinking mind is you reduce the quality of it. Right? You can buy some cheap product and you can buy a good quality one. What's the difference? What will happen? When you use it, the performance would be lower when you buy a cheap product. And the lifetime would be lower when you buy a cheap product. But if you go for a good quality one, whatever the performance, it'll be great and you can use it for a longer period. So that's the same for the present moment. The quality, you can improve the quality of the present moment. Now you do things like a zombie. You talk to people like a zombie. You function like a zombie, right? But when you meditate and when you improve the ability to be more present, then you realize you are improving the quality of the moment. Whatever the things you do with necessary attention. When you talk to people, even they can feel that you are present. And whatever the challenges that comes in life, you have certain level of awareness or a situational awareness to face them. In this busy world, when we travel in those busy streets or metros, it is important that we have a certain level of situational awareness. You can't keep looking at the phone, or you can't keep thinking in your mind and function. Sooner or later, you'll get into some trouble due to the lack of situational awareness, right? So when we improve our practice, we realize we become more present. Whatever the present moment, we are more aware. That situational awareness is very important to face the challenges of this new age. You can function without much trouble. You can function without getting into trouble, right? So that way, the quality of your life, the quality of your moment will be improved. Will be improved. And that's what matters. That is how you can truly achieve things. Your life, it's a series of present moments. Or it's a series of small things that we do in the moment. Right? So if we think that way, whatever the targets, goals, if you want to achieve them, the most important quality is to be present with a relaxed mind, with a mind that has clarity. Right? So that way, when you approach, then whatever the things you are doing will be more effective. When you talk to people, they feel that you are present. Right? So that way, the quality of your life, the quality of your present moment will be improved. And if tomorrow comes, you will be there. You don't have to worry much about tomorrow. Right? If tomorrow comes, you'll be there. And you can do the same as today. Today you were present, you were doing your things with more situational awareness, with the presence of mind. And if tomorrow comes, then you can do the same tomorrow. Now you have developed the ability to be here and now. That's the very idea of this practice. It takes some time, it takes few months, but when you do it little by little, you realize how this change is happening in your own life. It's much greater than, you know, just believing somebody else's words. When you experience it, you are certain, you know that the practice works. Right? So that way, we have to do this, we have to improve our practice and gradually reach there. Little by little, we can develop that. And as I said earlier, we can simply give up these things and just be. Initially, let's say in the beginning, practitioners, they try to hold on to something. Let's say the breath or the walking sensations. That's how we start our practice. And for the beginners, we encourage it. Right? But gradually, the practice will take you to a location or to a way of practice that you are holding onto nothing. Even the breath is there, but you are not holding on to it. The bodily sensations are there, but you are not holding on to it. Right? Even the good is there, but you are not holding on to it. Initially, as a beginner, we hold on to good. We give up evil. Let's say the thoughts, you can say the good thoughts, bad thoughts. Like that, we try to discriminate. We say these thoughts are bad, these thoughts are good, so I'll hold on to the good ones. Right? So that's how we start. Even holding on to breath, that's more like a good thought. Holding on to the steps, that's holding on to good. That is how we start. But gradually, when you do the repetitive practice, the practice will take you to this to a, through this journey, and gradually you realize you are relying less and less on the breathing. You are relying less and less on the walking sensations. Instead, you give up everything and you simply be. Things come, things go, but you are not moved by them. Even the bad thoughts tend to appear more and more when you give up holding on to good, right? It is natural. But this is the way of the practice. You have to, at a certain point, you have to give up good in order to move forward in the practice. Otherwise, if you keep holding on to good, the evil will be there also. When you hold on to good, evil is underneath that. Good and evil, it's two sides of the same coin. So most of the practitioners, what they get wrong is that they try to hold on to good all the time. They try to do good things. They think about doing good things all the time. But they don't realize that too is the same process of desiring. When you hold on to good, without you even knowing, you hold on to evil as well. Right? So at a certain point of the practice, you have to give up both. If you expect to have proper peace in you, if you expect to realize proper peace in you, then you have to do this. The time will come for you to do this. And lately I heard this story about Mahatma Gandhi. His entire life, he struggled a lot to do good, to do good. He was doing good. He had to struggle a lot in order to do that. Right? When you think about his lifetime, it's a whole struggle of doing good. But it is said, even when he was 70 years old, even then, he was having sexual dreams throughout night. He was really disturbed by these dreams. When he was conscious, he was holding on to good. Right? Throughout the day, he was only doing good. But when you give up control of the mind, when you sleep, the proper nature appears. The evil appears. So after doing a lifetime of good, he couldn't give up those evil parts. Right, so you realize when you hold on to good, in a way you are encouraging or energizing the evil as well. That's why suppressing won't work. You can suppress for so long, but whenever they get a chance, they'll come to the surface. Right, evil is there. They come to the surface. Right, so in this practice, what we do is at a certain point we give up the good as well. And when we do that, we can see the evil coming to the surface. You can see sexual thoughts, desires. You can see anger. You can see certain things like jealousy, right? So those things appear. What can we do? We simply be aware. Awareness or the mindfulness is your refuge. Right, you simply allow these things to come and go while being aware. That is simply being. That's the real meditation, you know. Allow things to go, allow things to flow, and simply be. Right, in your walking, you simply walk and just be. Sit in a comfortable manner. Just allow things to manifest as they wish. Simply be there, right? So that is the very practice, right? And when you reach that level, you realize There's no distinction between the good and evil. Sometimes the good thoughts come, we are not holding on to them. Sometimes the evil thoughts come, but we are not holding on to them. The nature of these thoughts are simply they appear, they last for a while, then they disappear. You simply accept that nature. Right? So that way, little by little, you can improve and you realize simply being is the best meditation practice. But initially, you can't get this balance. You have to go through many hours of tiring practice in order to reach this level. But when you reach this level, you realize it is so relaxing. It is so comfortable. Simply like the corpse, right? Lying down on the floor, you give up everything. You try to simply be. You can feel the thoughts, you can feel the bodily sensations, you can feel certain sounds from the surrounding, but you are simply there. You are simply witnessing. And time to time, naturally, this relaxed mind will drift off a bit. But that too is okay. That too is okay. And again, you come back to the awareness. Right? So this is the giving up that we are talking about. Simply being in the present moment. And when we do that, we realize how relaxing that is. After 20, 30 minutes of lying down in this corpse pose, you realize you are refreshed. It feels like having few hours of sleep, right? And you can start working again. You can function again. So that's why I said after a long work day, when you are exhausted and tired, you might still have many hours of work at home. So before you go into that, just simply take a break. Just lie down on the floor and just be for a while. And when you do that, after 20, 30 minutes, you'll be refreshed and you'll start working again, right? So that way, little by little, we can come closer to the things that we are talking. And that type of a mind is the real mind that we should develop. And whatever the goals, whatever the targets, whatever the things that you need, you can achieve. Of course, it's not like you are not working. It's not like you are not breathing. You are functioning. You are doing your things. But there is no stress. That is the change that will happen. There's no anxiety. That's the change that will happen. Even one time, somebody came to Buddha and he was asking about Nirvana. And Buddha gave this strange answer. He said that there was some stress, there was anxiety, and it's simply giving up that stress. It's simply getting rid of that anxiety. That's how he introduced Nirvana to that person. Right? So the stress will be released. The anxiety no longer will be there. You'll be more peaceful. Somebody was sharing their experience about practice and saying, I can't think about these larger goals like Nirvana or realization. I'm more interested in my daily relaxation. With this practice, I can work with a relaxed mind. I can have a certain level of peace of mind. That's what I am aiming. I'm not targeting those big goals like Nirvana. But in reality, what is realization? Right? You don't get a certificate out of it. Nobody will come and give you a certificate saying that you are enlightened. Instead, simply you are peaceful in your mind. The stress won't be there. The anxiety you will get rid of. That is the real realization. That is the real Nirvana. right? So in a way, that person is talking about the nirvana, getting closer to the nirvana, feeling more and more relaxed in the mind, refraining a certain level of peace of mind. That's the very idea. So I hope this topic is related to you, and you can simply improve your practice and reach a certain level of relaxation, and that's how you can really face this life successfully. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bante. So next on the agenda is any reports that we've received, and to present them to Bante, and also to get your questions, if you've got any questions, to present them to Bante as well. So for this session, I invite Anupama to start the session.
Thank you, Sonali. I hope you can hear me clearly. Yes. Okay, thank you. We've got a couple of reports to read from today, but before that, we would like to recap for everyone's benefit how to go about doing your day-to-day mindfulness practice, as very profoundly explained by Bante in his talk today. As you can see in front of you, there is a screen and it gives you the steps you can follow. There are some basic videos with instructions on mindful walking and sitting practice. The links are, as you can see, on there on the YouTube site. So we would recommend that you watch these. And then as step two, to allocate a little time in your daily schedule to start practicing this. Once you have continued this for a few days, and you've got 2 hours of each practice in total, we would encourage you to write down your experience. This comes in the form of a reflection report. You can either state your experience, or approach it as a question. For example, you can put a title such as mindful walking, mindful sitting, and then describe what you felt while walking and sitting, and also any other things you recognized, any other sensations you experienced, the posture, etc. So in terms of sensation, for example, you can mention the most prominent sensations when you are walking, such as the texture of the ground, what pressure points you felt on your sole, how did your body weight shift from one leg to another when you were doing the mindful walking, for example. In terms of mindful sitting, you can focus maybe on prominent sensations such as pressure points when you sat down and the breath incoming, outgoing at your nostrils, or maybe the movement of your abdomen. So this is a little guide to how to write your reflection report. Once you have done so, you can either submit the reflection report via a Google form or the email, both of which are mentioned on the screen in front of you. And Sonali has kindly posted it in our chat as well. So thank you to all of you who are participating and for continuing to send your reports in. It's very useful for everyone's day-to-day practice. And of course, all the recordings of these sessions are available on the Nisaranavani website. You can see it in the link on your chat or on the screen in front of you. Thank you. So I will begin with our first report for the day. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Noted colder in-breath and warmer out-breaths. Breath broke up after a short period. Cold waves passing along body. 3 episodes of sensation and insects being inhaled, needing to blow out nose gently. Unsure if they were really were insects. Noted short thoughts, mind stayed on breath, not distracting. Once heard a loud noise upstairs, which was startling, but mind stayed on breath after short thought proliferation on what the sound was. Meditated 45 minutes. Mind stayed calm. Mindfulness during the day. Calm, collected, happy mind, despite busy period with family life. Able to do a task at a time and alter plans as new tasks get added to the list with no agitation within the mind. And all jobs getting done efficiently. Finding time to practice meditation and listen to Dhamma talks. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers, end of report one.
Okay, now when we start our practice, little by little you can feel how these things, the senses are merging into one, right? Like when the breath break up, you can really feel it. You can feel how the certain bodily sensations appear. You can't explain them. You feel like the insects are walking on your face. But when you truly check it, there are no insects, right? Sometimes short thoughts appear. Sometimes various other things appear. So that way, this is more like the blending of the senses. And probably you heard a sound from upstairs. It was a real sound. But sometimes in meditation, you hear sounds. But afterwards, you wonder whether it was a real sound or some other thing that you experienced in the meditation. So this is the blending of senses. And you can't really say which one is reality, which one is mind-made, right? And that's where the practice is leading us. The practice is leading us to see the reality of this world. Initially, we thought that everything is real, everything we experience is real. But now, you start to get the real picture. You start to see the real picture. You see how the breath is disappearing. You see certain how the bodily sensations are appearing. You see how certain parts of your body is disappearing. You see how you hear the sounds that are not there, right? So this way, you can see the blending of senses. You can see how this mind works. The mind can create anything. If it is the insects, it can create the insects. If it is some fear, it can create the fear. If it is a loud noise, it can create the loud noise. So they say the mind is the forerunner. You can see how the world we are experiencing, it's a mind-made world. We are not saying that the outside things are not there. Outside things are there, but we perceive them only through the filter of mind. And you don't know how it is filtering. You don't know whether this filtering is valid. Sometimes certain things are omitted. Much important things are omitted. Sometimes certain things are shown. The things that are not there are shown, right? So this way, this is the illusion of mind, and gradually we can see more and more into it, right? So that's the very practice. We are happy that you are progressing. Just continue like this.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number two. Mindful walking. Walked indoors at a regular pace. Usual signs of walking, such as alternate foot pressing against the carpet, body weight shifting, contact of clothing, lighter feeling of lifted foot, movement of air, etc. Attention remained with movements of walking for a while. Thoughts would arise and pass in the background. Background sounds may have been there, but cannot recall any specific ones. Feet movements were monotonous and slow. Observing walking movements as an entire process or as under a microscope, both these options were possible. Walk for 45 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position and waited. Breath noted around nostrils. Soon it became subtle, although still able to observe it. Boredom like state in mind, but it felt different. Faint rise and fall of chest noticed at times. Lightness in body and mind. Could not feel some parts of the body. Attention back on subtle breath just outside face, like breath is separate on its own. Calmness in mind. Experience peacefulness of the moment. Sat for 50 minutes. Felt rejuvenated afterwards in both the mind and body. Mindfulness during the day. Noticing how the mind is connecting with the task at hand, be it with household chores as well as with office work. In these situations, the mind feels lighter and calmer. In other situations, when there are several thought processes in mind, it feels heavier and a bit restless. With this repeated observation, mind is naturally aligning with the task at hand. Peacefulness is experienced fully when it arrives, and there is no pull towards hanging on to it or feeling sad when it passes. Many events and interactions that were seen as peak negative ones are now experienced as passing events. Those with positive peaks also experienced more as passing and not static. There's an ongoing experiment in the mind, about the mind. Nothing much is different on the outside. Same world, same chaos, similar interactions and chores, but able to experience few more moments of peace amongst it. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Teruvan Saranam. End of report 2.
Okay, that's very nice. Now, this is the way to live. We talked about it in our talk as well. This is the way to live. Simply being there, noticing what is happening. And as a result, you can feel how the mind is distancing itself from the things. You are there, you hear things, you see things, you get thoughts, but you are not shaken by them. You can see the peace is there. Good things come, but you are not energetic about them. And when they leave, you are not sad. Bad things come, you are not trying to suppress them. And when they leave, you don't try to be happy. Instead, simply, we move from one experience to another. Right? And no discrimination among these experiences. We simply value them equally. And that way, when you practice, you realize this world is not that bad. whatever the things we do, whatever the things that happen out in the world, the people we meet, it's like witnessing a miracle, the miracle of the present moment. And, you know, it's one of a kind. All the time, it's one of a kind. There are no copies, no, there are no duplicated incidents. Every moment is so precious. Every moment is so unique. And we start to simply notice this miracle that's happening in the present moment. It's like witnessing a miracle. Witnessing a miracle, what more do you need in your life? Simply be and witness that miracle. And when the time comes, you'll become a corpse. And still, you are not, you know, sad, you are not worried, you are not fearful about it. Sometimes the sickness comes, right? That too, you have to accept as a part of this life. Whatever the treatments you can get. But those treatments can help temporarily, but there is no permanent solution. The only permanent solution is through the practice. Somebody was saying that nobody is getting out of this world alive. Right, everybody has to go through the same process. Nobody is getting out of this alive. Right, so simply accepting that fate is important. And if you postpone it, one day it might be too late. We never know. We never know. No guarantee is given. Right, so that's why you have to practice. That's why you have to improve your practice. Reach a certain level. And at that level, if the sickness comes, you gladly accept it. Do whatever the treatments that are necessary. But still, if it happens, it happens. Right? What can you do? Right? Simply go through that experience. If the death comes one day, simply go through that experience. That's the last thing that you'll be doing. And that's the last experience that you'll be having, right? So why not welcome it as well, right? So that way you can approach it. That way you can approach it. And you can see that although the chattering is there, although various ideas, opinions come, your mind is not much moved by this disease. Or sometimes certain thoughts about the family and friends, you know, sometimes about the properties, those things come, but still your mind is not much moved by the approaching death, right? So that's how the practice can help you. It is said that the practice is simply dying before you die. That's what we are doing. We are preparing for our death. We try to go through that process before the real death comes. That's why they say die before you die. That's the practice. And in teachings, there are incidents that people come and ask about the enlightened ones. They ask the Buddha what happened to them after their death. That's the question. But the Buddha is refusing to answer these questions. He's saying you can't tell that there is a person even while they are living. Right? They might be functioning, they might be talking to you, but you can't really say that there is a person. So how can you answer that question, what happens to them after their death? So you can see the enlightened ones, they are already gone through that death process. That's why they say die before you die, right? You don't have to worry the approaching death because you have already gone through that process. There is nothing left in there for the death to take, right? So that's how we can face this life successfully. Otherwise, see the people, they thrive in this world, but sickness comes and they are in rock bottom. They hit the rock bottom within few weeks. When the death comes, they are shaking with the fear, they are crying, they are screaming. That's how they face it, right? So although they live certain parts of their life luxuriously, they haven't achieved the proper goal of this human life. And one of the books, somebody came to a teacher and asked, why are we born as humans? That's like, you know, crazy questions. Some people, they have these type of questions. But the teacher, he got this opportunity to teach some Dhamma. He was saying, to not be born again. That's the answer that was given. Why are we born as humans? To not to be born again. You can finish this in this life. In this very life, you can finish it. Right? So that's the very idea. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure it will be encouraging for others as well.
Thank you, Bhante. We've actually received the third report. If it's okay with you, I'll go ahead and read it, Bhante. Report number 3. Dear Venerable Bhante, this week, on my usual route to the bank, I slipped on black ice and fell. Observe the struggle to get up, imbalance of the body. Then fear arose whether I'll be able to reach home. It was observed, then disappeared. As no one was around, I managed to somehow get up. Then came the intense pain. Did not have aversion to it, just observed it. Managed to reach home somehow and saw the whole arm was swollen. My son took me to hospital where they said I needed to be drugged so they could pull the arm so they can put the bone in place. I said not to drug me. I said just pull it and I'll observe the pain. 3 of the nurses and my son pulled the arm and I just observed the pain. Only felt a subtle pain, which came and went quickly. They asked me how I managed the pain during that process. I said, I'm no superhero. I just practice mindfulness of pain. I'm now in a cast, but have totally accepted the situation I'm in and do not fight it. I think I'm so at ease with the whole thing because of that. Thanks to my sister and friends, they have bought cooked food. I'm so grateful the other parts of the body are working well, at least for now. Much merits to you, Bhante, and you all. End of report number 3.
Okay, thank you for... hold on, just give me... Can you hear me? Some technical issue here today. Right. So thank you for presenting that report. It was like, you know, providing evidence for the earlier discussion. So that's how this works, you know. I talk about one thing, and the next report you can see the evidence for that, right? So this is how the world works, you know. You never know whether you are able to reach home today, right? When you go to work, there's no assurance, right? You never know what will come, what's around the corner. So this is the best preparation for that. We are not in a way like fearing the death. You know, some people, they say that when we think about these things, it's too negative. It's like avoiding the life that's given to you, right? But that's not what we do. We know, we are conscious that these things are coming. So we prepare ourselves for them, right? So whatever the situations that appear, you can prepare yourself for them. This is the best example for that, you know. This disease comes, right? So you wonder whether you are able to reach home. And you have to go to the hospital, do those things, that's fine. And even the hospital staff, they wonder how you are facing the pain like this. You know, those people, they deal with pain every hour. right? Every hour they deal with patients. So they have seen people. They know how the people are facing it, you know. And when you face it consciously, when you face it without drugs, they wonder how the hell you have managed it, right? Even I was sick about a month ago, and I got medicine. I had to get medicine because it was continuing for like 5 days. I somehow escaped, you know, for 5 days. I had extreme fever and vomitish, loose motion, all those symptoms. And after 5 days, couple of senior monks came and they said, now it's been 5 days, we have to go. Right. So anyway, I took medicine after 5 days and they have given me painkillers. And after taking the medicine, I can feel the influence of drugs. It's more dangerous than the earlier symptoms. You know, I was seeing certain things because of the painkiller, right? So I can feel that I am high, I am drugged because of the painkiller. So after a day or so, I stopped taking the painkiller. I could manage the sickness much easier than managing the drugs, right? So that way, when you improve your ability to face pain in this life, gradually you realize you can manage. There could be certain occasions that you might have to take the painkillers. Of course, that's fine. Extreme pain, extreme occasions would be there, right? And sometimes some situations, nobody can give a solution for the pain that you have to endure, right? Especially if you have faced like accidents, injuries, if you have felt, you know, broken bones in you or fractured bones, you'll know how extreme that pain is, right? The pain in your bones, that's the extreme pain that you can ever experience. As far as I know, maybe there'll be some even more extreme pains, but we don't know. So the broken bones, fractured bones, they create the highest extreme kind of pain. And when that happens, for hours, you are in pain. You can't do anything about it, right? Even after taking medicine, you are in pain. You can't do anything about it. Certain illnesses are there. The medical staff, they can't give painkillers till they figure out what it is. Sometimes they are just, you know, observing you. They are doing these checks, right? So for hours, for days, you might have to continue with the pain. Right, so even after taking painkillers, there are some diseases the painkillers won't work, right? So this is the challenges that we are facing. So we better be prepared, right? And when you train your mind this way, you realize there are nothing that can shake the confidence or the power of mindfulness, right? You have to reach that level. Not initially, it's fragile, of course. Initially, the mindfulness is fragile. But when you approach a certain level, you realize now it has taken control. The problems, the pain, the difficulties, the diseases, whatever that comes, it's not a big deal for the power of mindfulness, right? So that's why we are meeting weekly. We are encouraging ourselves as a group to reach that level, reach a certain level, develop the practice into a certain level, and you'll be much peaceful. Somebody came to me, a long-time practitioner, and they were wondering, you know, that person was wondering, I am interested in doing something, some other way of practicing. But this person has practiced for a long period. I know that person's level of practice, right? So that still that person was interested in doing some other meditation, more like a concentration meditation. I told them that you can try, but you'll be fed up soon because the mindfulness is working now. The power of mindfulness is there. And you realize whatever the other methods, they just bring stress, nothing else, right? When you develop this certain level of practice, you realize even doing certain things, certain meditations, they are just stressful. They are just disturbing the peace of your mind. Instead, simply be. What more you need? What else is there to meditate? This is the utter reality that we are experiencing. We are not trying to achieve anything else, right? So that approach is very nice. And when the practice grows, you can even handle much bigger, greater things in life. So thank you for sharing that experience. I'm sure it was helpful or inspiring to others as well.
Thank you, Bhante. And thank you to everyone again for sharing your experience and report. Now it's time for Q&A, and I can see we've got a hand up. Ivy Tarange, if you unmute yourself and ask your question, please. You can...
Hi. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Bhante. I was doing a meditation one day with mindfulness. So I noticed two things. One is... at one time, when you talked about good and bad thoughts, I started observing them. With the bad thoughts, once is when a bad thought came, I identified it as a bad thought. Like a bad means something, I guess from my side, say evil. So when I concentrated on it, it went to the next one, right? So that's the first experience. And then sort of I didn't continue on that path, and the next thing came. In the next experience I had, Pandu, was as maybe probably an experiment, I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do or not, let's say an evil thought or some thought came, right? So I actually let it be, and then I noticed that then the string of thoughts of came. Like so example, let's say, first thought, and then you saw for the next thought and all that. So then what I noticed is, while do I observe it because I sort of let it foster or like sort of let it go on that path, I noticed a change in my, I'm not sure how to call it, like say calmness or something. I noticed a change like sort of like a warmth or hotness or something internally. And so I was just wondering because I sort of did two things. One is where a thought came and I sort of observed it and then didn't foster, so sort of went to the next thought, so to sort of broke that. The second time around, I sort of let it foster and I sort of went with it. So I was just wondering what some sort of advice from you with that occasion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for sharing your experience. And you know, this is called the noble experiment, right? So you can try different things, you can experience for yourself, and you can figure out what's the best practice for you. That openness is there. Even when we give basic instructions, we keep them to minimum. And some places they encourage the recommended, like regimentation kind of a thing. But here we are allowing you to figure out. Most of the time we give certain level of advice, and then you can experiment with it and figure out your own practice. That's the best way to approach this, right? Otherwise, no, you can't copy somebody else's practice and somehow develop. Copying won't work, right? So we are glad that you did your practice like this. And it's like, you know, when the thoughts come, we don't try to, you know, hold on to them. Instead, simply we allow them to come and go as they wish and simply observe. That is the idea. Sometimes you can observe only a little part. It's already gone, right? If that happens, that's okay. We don't have to hold on to it till we observe, till we finish our observation. That's not necessary. Whatever the path that you are able to observe, that's fine. Then another thought will come, right? Sometimes we say train thoughts, chain thoughts. right? Some never-ending stream of thoughts appear. They come one after other, sometimes short thoughts, sometimes longer ones. So that way they come and go, right? So simply being aware of this process is the way, right? If it's there, you can observe for a longer period. If it's gone, then you can move on to the next moment. Don't worry about the past moment and lose the awareness of the moment that you're experiencing. And if for you, I would recommend anchoring yourself into a bodily sensation. If it is the walking, probably like walking sensations. If it is the sitting, maybe like the breathing or the movement of your stomach. That way, anchor yourself into a bodily sensation. And time to time, thoughts appear. We are not suppressing that. Simply notice how these thoughts come and go. Simply notice how they are unique to yourself. Simply notice how they are creating your world, right? So that way, we keep on observing. And one more thing I'll add, when you observe, you are no longer the thought, right? Usually, what happens is that when thoughts appear, we make it ours, right? You become one with the thought. That's why even René Descartes, right? He has done some experiment. He was a philosopher in this new age. He has done some experiment about the reality of this world. The very first conclusion he came, I think, therefore I am. That's simply identifying with your thoughts. So that's a huge mistake when you do that, right? But here what we do is we are not identifying with our thoughts. As long as you observe, you are not one with the thought. You don't become your thought, right? They just come and go. They just come and go. That's the very approach to the practice. So continue and let us know your progress next time.
Thank you for that question and for the answer, Bhante. Very helpful to all of us. I think before we wrap up today's session, we may take one more question if there's any in the audience. I can't see any hands raised, so I assume that's it for today for the question and answer session. With that, I'll hand over to Sonali. Thank you.
Thank you, Anupama. We are slightly over time, so unfortunately we don't have any time for questions. So if you have any questions, please save them for next week or write to us. So with that, I will make a quick announcement about the fundraiser. This is to the UK community. If you still have a few more days to send me the funds before I transfer them to the Nisaranwaneya, this is for the new and exciting projects that the Satipatthala Foundation has planned. And anyone else, you could maybe directly transfer the funds to Satipatthala Foundation. If you need to know more details on what this is, I will simply share my phone number. So maybe just note that down and ask me and I will give you all the information. So with that, we will end the session. On behalf of the organizers, I would like to thank Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for his continued guidance on this project. And also, we cannot forget the Chief Abbot of Nisaranwaneya, Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhamma Jiva Mahathero, whose idea was to initiate this program. May these merits help them with their own practice as well. And much merits to anyone who has sent us reports and participated, and everyone who participated via Zoom, Facebook, and anyone who may be watching later. Thank you to all the organizers who make this happen every week. And also, please remember the session is on next week at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. May you all have a happy and mindful week ahead. And I will now end the session for everyone.